She frequently joined us while she was driving home.
Does she?
Roll call. I can look and say that's a roll call. Everybody's here except for Liz. So I've done the roll call. opening round. Anybody have anything for opening round?
I did. We went, Ken and I went shopping at Trader Joe's on Wednesday morning, and I was really excited because we could use our personal bags again.
Oh, are they letting you know?
Oh, is that so?
Yeah.
Good.
Trader Joe. Oh, I think they started it on the 5th or the 6th. They won't let you pack them yourself, which I always like to do, but at least we can use our
That's
own
interesting.
Bags.
Interesting. I don't know. You would think they'd want you to, so then they don't have to touch them if that was the concern.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you can always put them in the washing machine for the most part. I always wash my bags.
You can, if you want to pack your own bags, they would just put all your goods back in the cart and then you pack them outside, but we don't.
Oh, that's what I did last time I was there.
That's strange.
Of course you did.
Mm. I might go to Trader Joe's now.
Yeah, Schnucks is still, you can't bring your own bags in. Mm. Anybody have anything else? Okay, I have one item for the opening round. Jenny has been swamped with work, utterly swamped with work. She just told me she's working so much it's ridiculous and so late. She'd wondered if anybody else could do the minutes other than her. She would make the sound recording available if somebody wanted to do it, was willing to do it. I can't. I found that in the past, I just cannot run a meeting and take minutes at the same time. It doesn't work. So think about it. She's asking if anybody else would be willing to do the minutes. It would help her quite a bit. Okay? Don't need a commitment now. Just ask you to think about it. Mm-hmm. And we'll set our mafia enforcers out later on. Okay. Minutes of September.
Timothy Dugan had something, and I have something.
Okay. I'm sorry. I missed that. All right. Okay.
Tim? More just a recommendation for folks that aren't aware of it. I don't know if you've heard of the podcast Trash Talking with Eco Warriors, but their third season, this is what their logo looks like, but their third season just came out. Mm-hmm. And you made me think of this, Mary, talking about wastewater. The latest episode is on a company that collects hair and builds oil capturing like drainage filters that they're implementing in, they're still relatively new, but they're implementing in like a half dozen cities or so around the US. So apparently something like 50% of the pollution that goes into wastewater comes from runoff from like oils coming off the road that spills out of cars and then washes out the water. Wow. So anyways, A, if you're interested in the podcast, it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Excuse me a second while I get something to read, to write on.
Sure. And then the second comment was more toward you, Jenny. I don't know if that's something that would become priority enough that we could bring it up, but I have no idea what the cost or return would be. It's just something that cities are starting to adopt. So.
And what is talking with Echo Warren?
Yeah,
it's that's called Talking with Eco Warriors. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure. And the company is called Matter of Trust. I can follow up with you, Jenny, if you want, but they essentially build these like stormwater drain filters that are made out of essentially like dry braiding hair. So it's almost like creating these like natural dreadlocks that just capture the oils from stormwater runoff. Just thought it was pretty.
I would definitely, if you can share that with me, that would be great.
Sure.
Stormwater pollution is a big thing. Did you say you had something else too?
No, just it was all that. There were just two points to it.
Okay.
Interesting. Yeah, I like that idea.
Yeah, me too. I have one thing. I'm working with the library to set up a collection container for campaign signs for November. They can't be recycled in the single stream, but they can be recycled if they're taken in bulk to Republic. So, so I really want to try to find some volunteers to help collect them because I don't think the library said they put a container out, but I don't know that they've ever been to the drop-off, recycling drop-off on a Monday morning when people have brought all their stuff over the weekend. And so I'm picturing their parking lot full of campaign signs. So I will probably be reaching out to you all about this initiative. I've also been talking a little bit to some of the other municipalities to try to add more drop-offs through the region because they are recyclable, just not in single stream, but there's not a single drop-off. Republic will only take them if they are brought there already with the stands removed. They'll take the stands and recycle the metal, and they'll take the corrugated plastic and recycle that, but only if they're in bulk, already sorted and brought to them. So trying to get that. I also reached out to the St. Louis area Republican and Democrat committees because I found somewhere in Pennsylvania that they have a program like this that's actually mostly run by those committees because their candidates are the ones who signed there. That extended producer responsibility, but nobody's replied. So. So I just wanted
to say ice. This is sparkling water.
Okay. That's an interesting idea too. What's that? What to do with those things in bulk. What constitutes bulk? 10 enough or they want 100? Don't you know?
I don't know, but I have no doubt that we will get more than 100.
Okay.
You know, right. Just because.
So we would have people take individual signs down in the recycling center, and you people or somebody at the staff there would pack them up in bulk.
Right, except that it wouldn't be at the recycling drop-off because I'm too afraid of contamination down there. It would be in the library, and I'm still trying to debate whether it should be only during business hours because at night is when any kind of container just gets stuff thrown in it. I haven't quite figured it all out yet, but.
Well, the library doesn't open until 11 o'clock in the morning.
No, that's right. That's right.
Doing something a couple of mornings there would probably be the best way to do it. There wouldn't be a lot of traffic in the parking lot, except for maybe a couple employees. There might be an ideal time in which to do it.
That's a good idea if we had certain date time for the drop-off.
Yeah.
Instead of just it being an open container for, 2 weeks, something. Because, like when we do Christmas lights during and after the holidays, we have the container inside City Hall. So people tend to not bring in trash to put in those containers. But now that City Hall's closed, then we can't do that. So I like that time frames for drop-off. That might be a better idea, John.
Okay. And actually, they're closed totally on Sunday and Saturdays. They're only open from 1 to 5. So 6-7 days a week, anytime before 11 o'clock would work out.
Good idea.
All right. All right. Are we ready to move on? All right. Approval of minutes of September meeting minutes. Is anybody else besides myself had a chance to read them?
I did.
I can pull them up on my screen since I just sent them 15 minutes ago.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so I think they're almost all on one page, but.
The food waste.
Tell me when you want me to scroll down.
There was a typo in 2A, Jenny, about the award that Mitch Leachman got, and Mitch is the coordinator of the Bring Conservation Home program. You've actually got Mitch's they coordinator.
Okay, fix that.
Minor typo.
Yeah. I read right through that.
I didn't notice anything else, though.
Except I forgot Liz and Barbara. They were there.
Yeah. And actually, even on 2A, something about Mitch Leachman received the Great Grove Native Pioneer Award or something like that, because the sentence is not complete. Not that it matters too much.
Oh, you're right. Yeah.
Okay, I did that.
I skipped right over that. Yeah.
Okay.
Here, I think there may be one other.
That's that second page, yeah. Okay. Anybody have any comments? All those in favor of voting to approve the minutes of September?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Okay. They're approved. Good enough. Thank you very much. There are no real special presentations this time. Jenny, why don't you take that screen sharing down?
Yep. There we go.
Okay. So the new business, first one is the River to Pear Trash Bash.
I'll just let you know, all know what's going on with this. I know Sinan talked a little bit with the Stormwater Commission about this. I need to reach out to them. So it's the trash bash is not one day, it's a week between October 24th and October 31st. I sent certain, so basically volunteer groups will come to the drop-off. Okay, we're gonna set up at the library to hand out gloves and equipment. And then volunteer groups will pick a day and a time and the locations that we've supplied them, which I went and walked the River to Pear with Sinan, and we picked a few right by the Vernon Bridge, by the community center. You can get down. So the biggest thing was access, more than it was where the worst pollution was. So there's that location. There's a couple locations in Heman Park that you can get to the river. And then on the Groby Bridge. I think those are the four, there's four locations that people can select to clean up along the river. So that will, they should be sending me the locations and the actual, the link for registration soon. And then hopefully we can get some people signed up to clean up that river.
What is the date, 24th to?
24th through the 31st. It's okay. You can pick a date to collect a volunteer group, basically. It's interesting. I'm not sure how it's all going to work out, but.
Okay, anything more on that subject? No? Okay. Next thing, Tree Keepers Volunteer Group.
It's going to be okay. Barbara. Barbara's going to be doing a lot this meeting.
That's me. So not a lot to report, really, on our tree keepers activities. We're still doing some tree watering, more in the late part of the summer than we had to do earlier in the summer, certainly, since it's turned so dry now. So we are doing that. We did pick up one additional project that Jacob asked for volunteers on. So four of us helped with, or actually we did this bed at Kingsland Park. And Jacob had planted several dogwood trees, silky dogwood trees, but he didn't have the time or the staff to keep it weeded. So it was pretty overgrown. So four of us got that weeded, and then one of the group is also taking over watering of those trees. That park, by the way, really needs some help. It needs more trees. So we're going to be figuring out ways to help with that. And then I noticed I get emails from the Missouri Department of Conservation, and they always announce who gets the TRIM grant funds, the TRIM grant, what's that stand for? Tree resource something and maintenance grants. And I knew that Jacob had applied and he received grant funds that I know he wants to use for an inventory. So that will be a big step. At the moment, there's an old inventory for you city trees.
Bolidar did that, right?
Yeah, I did that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, John was involved in that. And some people who are currently in Tree Keepers were involved in that too. But it's not really in a database that can be manipulated. So Jacob, that was really one of his priorities, to get the software to do a tree inventory that can be easily updated. So once we kind of know where we are in terms of the tree canopy, the urban tree canopy, then he's going to start planning for adding more trees. So we'll probably be involved somehow in that process. I'm not quite sure how. But so far, that's about all we're up to.
Yeah, the old tree keepers done two foresters ago. We just got a whole bunch of volunteers. They taught us, I don't know, we had 25, 30 people. They taught us how to identify the trees and look for, judge the condition of the trees. And they sent us out in different parts of the city and reported back. And that was, there was no computer accessible inventory before that. And so they set this up as an inventory they could use at the time, but obviously there was no way to update that later on. So that's what Jacob needs. I kind of wish he would have gone back the other way of doing it, but he's chosen to get a grant and hire a professional. And so that's probably better. We might've made some mistakes identifying trees. It's hard to know.
Well, he's going to buy software. I don't know that he's looking to hire anybody to do it, but he's going to, okay. he wants to buy this particular software.
Talked about hiring somebody.
Oh, did he?
An arborist, okay, to do it, but it's going to cost over $100,000, and I don't think the money's there to do it. So if he starts talking about this more, it may be worthwhile to try to get some of the old tree keepers back to do the inventory. If it comes up.
Yeah, he certainly didn't get $100,000 from MDC. No. It was more like almost $10,000, I think,
right,
that he was awarded. Okay.
But you know, I think either some of the old timers who did the first tree keepers, or maybe there may be a bunch of other people we could get, maybe some newer people we could train to do the same thing we've done before, if it comes down to that.
I was trying to get the restaurants to empty the water that people don't use. You know, people are given water with their meal into the tree wells, particularly the outside. But it's hard because I don't have the heft of the city. So if somebody could put a little brochure or something together encouraging people in the restaurants, because they're getting a lot of support around here, to empty water and perhaps even wine and beer and whatever into the tree wells that are along Delmar, that would help. And it would stop it going into, you know, down the sink and into the sewer. It would go into the ground. I've been doing that for a couple of years, but if there was something more formal that I could give to everyone, you know. I mean, poor Jenny's got so much on her plate, I hate to even mention it, but if it had the heft of the city, that might be, you know, helpful to the little trees along Delmar.
I don't know of anybody that would do that besides me.
No, I mean, but I know, that's why I'm supposed to ask.
If somebody put something together and then, you know, I could review it, and then that would be great.
Well, I'll do that then. I'll do that, because it just seems like water gets thrown down the sinks in all the restaurants and it's straight into the sewer. So if you could circumvent that, that would be helpful, I think. Simple and easy to do.
Okay.
You have a sign behind you, Jenny, that says no idling. I think you should take that down, because you never stop.
You never
idle at all. That's an oxymoron, girl.
Okay. On this watering thing, I guess if they're getting water in a restaurant, they couldn't really take a real glass water for water drinks out of restaurants. maybe lose those. But if it was plastic, they could probably do it. But then you're facing, what do you do with plastic? But one thing I thought of maybe, that area, if signs were put on a couple of trees down there along the restaurant area.
Yes.
Telling people, you know, if you have leftover water in a restaurant, please bring it out.
That's all I need.
Something like that, a sign like that might well do it on some of the trees.
And also, I would think when people are outside and they see what's happening, it might encourage them to do it themselves when they're sitting in their own back gardens, you know? Yeah. But anyway, it's a simple thing. We have to start with the simple things.
Okay.
Well, I'll put something together.
Anybody else?
Ask a quick question to Barbara about the tree audit. So, because I think John's point is really interesting. There's like a ton of effort that goes to counting the trees or cataloging what kinds of trees there are. And I remember a couple meetings ago, back in the days when we could all be in person, you had talked to the arborist about some like baseline or threshold for the tree canopy in the city. Because it's, you know, super important for our kind of bigger solar power thing that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago and all that. And so I wonder, like, to John's point, you know, how, like, what kinds of information are you hoping to garner, like a percentage coverage or a biodiversity?
I think all of those things.
Okay.
One Jacob's concerns, and it's also my concern, is that a lot of the trees in New City are old and not in particularly good condition. So I think that that really needs to be assessed. Mm-hmm. I mean, we think that, but we don't have any hard data on that topic. So that's one of the things I hope to come out of an inventory.
Cool.
And, so, you know, we probably need to start actually replacing some trees.
So I think what's going on here is that Jacob Kaiser, the forester, does not have enough staff to go around.
Right.
And he doesn't have time himself. So what this volunteers did years ago, we basically went out and inventoried about 30,000 city-owned trees that were in a tree lawn or, you know, between the sidewalk and the street, or they're within 10 feet of the streets. And, we didn't do the parks, but we just did the city-owned trees otherwise. And that provided an inventory of the species that we had, the condition they were in, we judge those. And especially if there's any dangerous things, any danger of big limbs coming down or whatever. Then they were able to go, Norma Bonham at the time was able to get her crew to go out and work on those and keep track of the ones they had worked on. And gradually worked through the really dangerous ones to the less dangerous and working on down from that. And so I think that's what Jacob would be trying to do. Barbie and check with him. But that's certainly something that a group of volunteers, I'd be happy to do it again, a group of volunteers could do. it takes time. I think I must have gone out 8 or 10 times. We had groups of 3 people all together, one person writing things down, one person being a main identifier, and the third person just to help us go along. But with these groups of 3, we eventually covered the whole city in a couple of months and got it done. So it could be done again.
Yeah, I'll check with Jacob, see how he wants to proceed on that. Write myself a note.
Cool. Such an awesome project. Would it encompass the parks and the streets this time around, or would it just be the streets?
I'm not sure. I was assuming it would also encompass the parks, because I know that Jacob and his crew have installed more trees in some of the parks.
Yeah, and years ago, the reason we didn't do parks was the parks department was separate from the forestry department. They weren't using the same equipment or too much or anything, and they were separate entities, and so there was no overlap. Now they're joined together in one department, and so it might be easier to get the parks done as well.
Okay, I'll check with Jacob, and then I can let you all know. Next meeting, I'll send you an email on that.
Okay. Old business, first thing, mosquito fogging.
Okay. So I'm going to have to look at my notes on my phone because I tried printing the information that I'd sent all of you, and mm-hmm. our printer's not working very well, so it was illegible.
Ditto, mine either.
Yeah.
Oh, I could have printed it. Well, it's all right.
Do you want me to pull it up on my screen?
Oh, yeah, that would be good.
Yes.
Yeah. That would be good. Because I bet some people didn't get a chance to read it, too.
Appreciated your comment in your email, John, earlier today, which is I'm curious to know if there's a way to assess it, the true motivation to why we're fogging for mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Is it truly about prevention of disease spread, or is it that they're annoying?
And
I'm guessing it's because they're annoying.
They also spread disease.
Yeah.
Well, because this seemed to suggest that the fogging method is not effective in reducing the population of the most dangerous disease spreading species or breed of mosquito.
Yeah, some of the Culex species, which is what the St. Louis County's fogging operation apparently targets. They hang out in the high tree canopy, and then they'll zoom down to feed on us and other creatures. But the fogging doesn't really reach them, so it's really not effective on them. It is effective on some of the other mosquitoes that I mentioned, Anopheles and Aedes species. They hang out lower to the ground, and some of those do carry some diseases, but things like West Nile, those are carried by the Culex mosquitoes. So, and that was Brentwood's experience as well, that the mosquito fogging wasn't really effective. And Dan Gummersheimer, who's the director of public works, Brentwood, he said that was really what they looked at, was the effectiveness of mosquito spraying, or rather the ineffectiveness. And that's, according to him, that's what decided the Brentwood Council to not do the fogging anymore, except they do fog like a park if there's going to be a special event there. But they just do larvicide in general, which is the larvicide treatment is BTI. It's what is that? The Bacillus thuringiensis.
Bacillus thuringiensis.
Yeah, and that's not toxic to other creatures, not toxic to fish, it's not toxic to pollinators, not toxic to humans at all. And that's what's used for larvicide. It's a product that you can get easily at a hardware store or probably a
mosquito
nursery.
Dunks.
Yeah, the mosquito dunks, exactly. Yeah. And so there's a lot that
I just wanted to say that is, if everybody remembers, we the city, University City, has a contract with St. Louis County to do larvicide and fogging.
And it used to be that we had a contract with them just for the larvicide, but then they stopped offering that as an option. Isn't that right, Jenny? That it was an all or nothing. You had to do larvicide and spraying. You couldn't just do larvicide. So I think other communities that have stopped fogging go with, is it St. Louis Vector Control or some other service just for the larvicide treatment. I just read something today about I think it was a month or maybe 2 months ago in the Fargo-Moorhead area of North Dakota and Minnesota. They did some aerial spraying over a 100-square-mile area using permethrin, which is the typically used broad-spectrum insecticide to control mosquitoes, and thousands of monarch butterflies were killed in that spraying operation. Thousands. And I'm sure you all know monarchs, they're in other insects, pollinators and other insects. So that's not something that we can afford. Anyway, just thought I'd mention that since I just read that today on a National Wildlife Federation blog. And
so I guess you're looking for a recommendation from the commission here.
Yeah.
Whether or not University City should continue to do fogging, continue to do larvicide, do one or the other or both. I'm not, you know, cost may be a factor also. The city's trying to save money, I know that. I think if we stop doing the fogging, you'd love to have some baseline to know if there what complaints are around now versus how many more we might get if we stopped doing anything. Would people complain about the annoyance even more? To me, there's a lot of things that need to be set in place to be studied to try to find out what's the effect of what we do or don't do, rather than just rushing into something. But if anybody else feels otherwise, go ahead and speak up.
I would certainly be in favor of a larvicide only policy. I just think that fogging is too detrimental to other creatures, even if it were really effective against the mosquito species that they say they're targeting, I would still feel that way. And I think there are other communities. I know Brentwood stopped spraying and does larvicide only. Collinsville recently stopped spraying and does larvicide only. So we could check with them regarding
adverse from. So if Brentwood is doing larvicide only on its own, they would have some idea what it costs,
right?
And what we could do when and what's involved, if the city staff do it or not. I don't know. That's that has to be worked out.
I think that they contract with the service, like Barbara said, that St. Louis Vector Control or whatever, and that's probably who they use if they have events at parks. You know, if they're going to do it there. Also, I know the city of Collinsville. They don't do fogging either. I'm not sure who else. I just happened to be on a Green Cities call on September 25th, and those two cities did not do fogging. So, but I think, like you said, John, I think we need to get more information. It would be good to have the costs.
Yeah.
The data. And then I know we had the spraying and then we quit the fogging, then we quit and then we brought it back. So I can look up that old ordinance and the conversation with council when they decided not to and kind of see what that information says.
That'd be good to know. Why did they decide to bring it back? What happened when they stopped? And as the question comes up, I don't know how frequently they go out and do the fogging. I don't know how frequently you need to do the larvicide for it to be effective. If you're going to put it in a stream where the pools are, like the River de Pere, there are quiet pools of time, the stuff might just wash away. There's a whole lot of questions that need answering, to my mind. I'd be happy to say we ought to look into it. In fact, Jenny, if you want help, I want to help look into this thing if you want.
Yeah, I would love that. I mean, it would be really great to have some type of pros and cons, costs, comparison, and I can find this old ordinance. If I can find the old ordinance.
I could see if I could find examples of other communities that have stopped spraying as well.
Yeah, and find the rationale, what they're doing. If locals, you know, if our staff has to do it, that might be too time consuming, but if we're hiring somebody else, the cost might be outrageous. I don't really know. We have to compare it with what we're paying St. Louis County right now to spray within
it the should university. Be fairly easy to find out, I would think.
Okay, but somebody's got to do it.
And if Jenny, right.
Jenny's right. stuck with work up over her head.
Yeah.
I do want to help Jenny out on this, find out what we can do.
There's a lot that individual residents can be educated to watch out for as well. I learned some things when I was doing some more research yesterday. Things like your gutters, even. I don't even think about those. If there's standing water in the gutters, then it only takes a few days for the lava to hatch.
Yep.
And downspout extenders that so many people have, apparently those are a great breeding space for mosquitoes. Pools, if you have bird baths but don't change the water very frequently, not good for the birds either, but that could be a breeding ground for just, you know, toys left out in the yard to gather water,
The problem is getting individuals to do that. And so,
but I think a lot of them are just really unaware. So a little bit of education wouldn't hurt.
Education and motivation, both.
If I can say something, I've noticed on my new roof, an TPO roof, there's small pools of water where there's dips in the roof. It evaporates eventually, but it's there. And if it only takes them a couple of days, then I'm a great breeding ground for them.
Yeah, about 4 to 5 days.
Really?
Yeah.
I might nip out and brush it away.
Where did you, is it permethrin? I actually think that I asked them what it they is. Used, and they said they didn't use permethrin this time. It's some...
Really?
Yeah, but it's what they have, what they use is not, they don't say what's in it. It's like, what is it called? Proprietary?
Yeah, a lot of them are. But I think a lot of what's used is a pyrethroid of some kind.
Right.
Which has basically the same effect as permethrin. That's what Tom Notzinger of the St. Louis County's vector control specialist with St. Louis County Public Health. That's what he said they had used, but that information is probably a couple of years old. And he did a presentation with he and I'm blanking on her name, the Jean Ponzi. He and Jean Ponzi did a program at a Partners for Native Landscaping workshop a couple of years ago. And he mentioned that. Or actually, no, that information may be more recent, because I know I've exchanged a couple of emails with him. So anyway, he said permethrin and one other, piperonal butoxide. Yeah.
Can one buy that at home, at Home Depot? Because I could put it in the areas where it's pooling on my roof.
Permethrin, I believe you can.
Just toss those mosquito dunks up there, Mary. You can buy those at Home Depot.
Pardon?
There's these, what Barbara was talking about, the mosquito dunks. It's a larvicide.
Yeah.
So you just put them in cooling water, and if I think, I'm assuming it makes a coating on the top that blocks oxygen so the larva don't hatch. I don't know if that's what that does. I know you can do that with like a little bit of oil.
What I was thinking of, just to leave it where it pools, because I know where it pools, because you can see the discoloration. I could leave it there, and when it rained and it pooled, well, I don't know. It just seems okay.
If you scroll down to the alternatives one.
Oh, sorry. I'm doing that.
The second one. They encourage residents. Part I think is interesting, but it might also be helpful to let people know when to do it, because it seems like there's certain moments in the life cycle of a mosquito that, I mean, here there's the larvicide, but also like in fall when mosquitoes start feeding on people instead of birds or small mammals or something like that. There's just to let people know that they don't have to be like vigilant constantly through the year, but there might be a certain moment to know that they could take action or to look at their property for rain barrels or change the water out in bird feeders.
Yeah, that's
that seems to make it less onerous.
Yeah.
Bless you, Tim.
I'm going to try. I read too about these simple, well, they look fairly simple to make larvicide traps that you can use on your own property. So next year I'm going to try a few of those and see how they work, because, you know, I work outside in my garden a lot, and even if I spray myself with a repellent, they seem to love me.
Me too.
You know, half a dozen bites in no time. So I would be happy to help reduce the mosquito population in my own yard. Just not kill off all the pollinators I'm trying to attract at the same time. So we're going to gather more information and then come back to this.
I know City Council may have to make a decision soon on whether to continue the contract with St. Louis County or not.
Yeah, I was going to ask when the contract is up.
The contract was probably just re-signed, because I don't know exactly, but it was on the council September 9th, 2019. Uh-oh. It was approved September 23rd. I don't know when the actual contract was signed, but here's the situation. You don't pay a flat rate. It's only when they go do it. So, you know, if we said, okay, we're not doing you anymore, and they say we have a contract, we can say, well, that's fine. We don't pay you because we only pay per use.
Okay.
I mean, that's my thought. Those are my thoughts. I don't know if there's fine print somewhere that says if you don't use us, then you have to pay a certain amount, you know, but I just know that's what the contract is. It's per treatment.
Okay, Jenny, I'll work with you to try and get information.
Okay.
We're just looking over in the next month or so. If we're trying to influence the city one way or the other, we need to get some more information. Yeah.
I did find the resolution. It was from 2003. They have a resolution about permethrin and that the city would not be using doing the fogging. So anyway, there is some information in the past that this the council has chosen that before, which is always good.
Okay.
I think I may have some additional information on the actual process from Tom Notzinger, whatever his name is, at the County Public Health Department, the vector control specialist guy. Mm-hmm. I'll look that up and I'll send it. If I find it, I'll send it to you, Jenny, and to John as well, since you're both going to be working on that.
Why do you find out if they're still using permethrin or not? Are they using anything in addition or something in Stowed? Said, find out what the ingredients are, okay? You can ask.
Okay.
So, all right, that would help.
Yeah.
Is your dog ready to make a comment too?
My cat.
Your dog in your lap?
This is a cat.
That's a cat. I could see the ears sticking up.
I see. Yeah, this is Mickey.
All right. Hello, Mickey.
Can you see him now? He's a lap cat.
Next, I think we've exhausted this one.
I think so for now, anyway.
All right.
Yeah.
Let's go on to the food waste audit. Jenny, you got a status update for us?
Yep, nothing too exciting. I mean, they plan to start hold on, I had it up here. Late October, but it sounds like to me it's going to be more like November. But, you know, they wanted to do it for a month, and they don't want to do Thanksgiving. Obviously, it's going to skew the results. So last time I asked, because I was hoping to get more information, they said late October, early November. So hopefully they'll pull through with that information and get that going.
Okay. Council liaison update. Stacy couldn't join us tonight. He had a prior commitment. Oh, he swears that he will be with us every time from now on. He had two comments he wanted to offer. One is that Ruth Park is raising its golf rates $3 to $5 per round, most significantly for non-residents rather than residents. And I will say, as a golfer who uses Ruth Park a lot, we have been undercharging compared to surrounding communities and other local courses quite a bit. So this increase is justified. There may be, for some residents that don't have that much money, maybe they won't be able to play as frequently as they have been in the past, but certainly in terms of cost of running the course and everything, maintaining it, we're far behind other courses who are generally charging. I, as a resident and a senior, I pay 10 other courses I have, I'm paying 15 or 16 to play. And so there's certainly room for a $3 to $5 increase. And the second thing he said is that council has authorized release of the round three of the economic, EDRST funds to support use of the businesses. I think Jenny sent out a note on that, or somebody did, it came out. So that's the only thing he had to say, those two items. Any, if there are no comments and no's, we can go on to the closing round. Anybody have anything to toss in?
No.
And do we need to do anything with that? Like, we're not like voting on that or anything, right? It's just an FYI that the rates will increase.
Yeah, we're not voting. That was just for information, really. It really doesn't pertain to us, actually. But that's what he said, that two activities he thought might be of interest. So that's what he presented. It's out of our control.
It might be something to bring back to him, but it does make me wonder, since golf courses require quite a bit of resource to maintain, is there in the future opportunity to recommend money being diverted to being more sustainable in the way that the course is maintained, either like the fertilizers, the water usage, whatever that may be, like even the species of plants that they put along the roots and things like that. So yeah. This might not be the right time for that, but it seems
good,
like
thought though. Yeah,
I will tell you that our course is in very good shape compared to the others I've been playing. So it's
I have no reference of comparison. More just a general thought of,
yeah.
I know that they are resource intensive, so if this is the time that we could say, hey, it's...
Yeah, it'd be interesting to find out the resources, money to
use your products or something like that.
Okay.
If we can find out just how they handle it now.
Yeah. Maybe we can invite the golf course superintendent to come talk to us sometime. We send us some information as to what they're doing along that line. I mean, Tim brought up a good point. So maybe if the superintendent can fill us in on what they're doing, that might help some discussion. But the rates are going up regardless. All right. If nobody's got anything in a closing round,
nope.
I'm going to adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
I've had a couple of things. Okay. Share, but this is more of a suggestion that I'm not sure how we would implement, except maybe communication to businesses. But I've noticed recently that a couple businesses in their online platforms for takeout orders, they're enabling you to select that you don't want them to give you the disposable utensils and extra sort of waste that comes from.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I wonder if we could do something to communicate with businesses that we should encourage them to do that across the board. I mean, it would save them money, even though that stuff is cheap, but also if people, especially as it gets colder, more and more people are not going to be able to eat when we have to be inside. So more and more people may return back to takeout. So
yeah.
Timothy, I'm glad you brought that up because last Saturday I had a conversation with a couple that does some marketing. And then I've had this conversation with the Green Dining Alliance to see if maybe they could start there, you know, if they could put together some. I mean, the one thing that I need is, like every other time, a flyer saying, here's why you should do that. From what I understand, there's different platforms restaurants use for the orders. And so if there's one type of platform, it's really easy to add that line to click the button, even for sauce packets, napkins, you know, things like that. And then I don't know about the other platform, but so our idea was to put together a flyer and then start sending it out to the restaurants. I had just really hoped that maybe the Green Dining Alliance, since they, you know, they're not out auditing restaurants right now, that maybe they could put something like that together and start with those businesses. But if anybody wants to put together some snazzy, eye-catching, you know, PR piece, that's really what it comes down to be able, because I have a lot of contacts for the businesses and restaurants, I can definitely start getting that out. It's just the time to... you know, it's on my list.
Okay. I will say the
pasta. I love that idea, Timothy. I think it is so important. Because how many times you get takeout and you get more plastic utensils in your house and you're like, I don't even need them anyway. It's not even, it's a waste for them. It's a cost for them.
Napkins for you.
Right. It's just.
It's napkins too.
Napkins, sauces, utensils, straws, all of that disposable, single use. And I actually just put that in the newsletter today that goes out from the city manager saying, here are things, ways you can reduce. And one of them was when you get takeout, request that you don't want that stuff. You know, at least start, the consumer can do it too. But if the restaurants have that option, it would just be easier for everybody. One click.
Pasta House already is not doing that, not giving you utensils at all.
Who?
The Pasta House.
Excellent.
At Del Mar and Old Bonham.
Yeah. That sounds really yummy.
Oh, stop.
Hungry.
I wish some businesses would ask, too, before they'd shove what you buy into a plastic bag.
Yeah. It's horrifying seeing all the plastic bags walking up and down the street.
CVS has really increased those plastic bags in the loop. That new CVS. Yep. I see them a lot.
Oh, everywhere.
Okay, is there anything else anybody wants to say? I didn't mean to try to cut you off forever. I thought we were done.
We're done.
We're done. Adam, you okay? All right.
Adam asleep?
he's awake. I can see him awake. Okay, I'm going to adjourn the meeting, folks. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jenny.
Thank you.
Jenny, I'll be getting together with you.
Think about it if you want to do those minutes. It's really not that bad. It's just one more thing. I mean, I wish I didn't have to do them and I could just turn in the audio file and be like, okay, if you want to know what happened, you can listen to the audio. Because that's posted too. But we need a few minutes. We're required to do minutes. Mm.
Okay. I'll walk around the street and distribute anything, but not minutes.
Okay. You can do the flyer for the utensils.
I can do the flyers for the restaurants and the non-takeaway things.
Okay.
I've volunteered for that.
Okay, folks. Hasta la vista. I'm leaving.
Take care.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.